For more than 200 years, his bones lay undisturbed, buried in the sand dunes of the northern Netherlands, on a beach where in 1799 thousands of British soldiers had been rowed ashore, sent to fight French influence and restore the House of Orange in Holland. But in March 2011, a shift in the sands revealed bones and metal artefacts, and a team of archaeologists was called in to dig further. Among them was 28-year-old Esther Poulos.
Mixed in the sand, the remains of a man with some artefacts from the period of 1799. They were quite degraded, so we had to piece them back together and collect all the little pieces in bags. And of course, we made a lot of pictures and drawings of how the skeleton actually was placed.
The nationality of the soldier might have remained a mystery had it not been for the clues left behind in the sands, the old muskets and the Coldstream Guards' distinctive pewter buttons, which still bore the cross of St George and the eight-pointed star of the Order of the Garter, and on the back the words Covent Garden, where they were made. For Esther, it became an archaeological dig unlike any other.
You know instantly that this is something that has never been found before, at least never been researched in such a way. And this was actually a person. We knew what day this man had died, and we knew he was a member of the Coldstream Guards because of his buttons.
In Holland, Esther began a quest to see if the mystery soldier could be identified and perhaps brought home. She got in touch with the Coldstream Guards veterans via their website, which led the regiment to send over Captain Oliver Morley to help bring home the soldier's remains.
It's quite humbling, really, to come here today, to know that someone from my regiment fought in these sand dunes back in 1799. It is important. This man was killed a long time ago, but he's still part of our regimental family. He's still a Coldstreamer, and it's nice that we can come here and honour him in that way.
In Haarlem, in the Netherlands, at a ceremony, the unknown soldier's remains were handed over in a child-sized coffin to the sound of the last post, played by a regimental bugler. The brevity of the 1799 campaign helped date the soldier's bones. But his torso had crumbled, and, crucially, he didn't have a head, while the bones themselves were too degraded for DNA testing. Back in London, the curator of the Guards Museum, Andrew Wallace, says that does at least offer a clue as to how the guardsman died.
The fact that it was a headless body, as gruesome as it is, lends itself to the likely explanation that his head was taken off by a cannonball. If he had been decapitated by a cavalry sabre, the head would have been around somewhere, and they were pretty good at reuniting the body parts when they were laid to rest.
The regimental adjutant of the Coldstream Guards has also been trying to track down who the unknown soldier may have been from the regiment's own archives. A muster roll from 1799 mentions at least two soldiers, Nathaniel Haynes and Thomas Taylor, who were killed on the 27th of August. However, Colonel Simon Vandeleur doesn't think they'll ever know the soldier's identity for sure.
I can't say no for definite, but we do have soldier records going back to that period of time, and we have looked in them, but unfortunately the Second World War intervened and a lot of them were damaged in the bombing in London. From the histories, we're pretty sure on that day, on the day of the landing, there were seven Coldstreamers who were killed, and I guess he was one of those seven.
Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, in sure and certain hope.
At the Guards' Chapel in Wellington Barracks, close to Buckingham Palace, two veterans from the Coldstream Guards joined the bugler and the chaplain to bury the unknown soldier in this consecrated ground. The soldier's ashes had found their final resting place in English soil.
To him be glory for evermore. Amen.